BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Are you ready for the Adam and Joe podcast? Made with little nuggets from their radio show. Mildly amusing mini moments from the past. Beautifully preserved in super stereo. Stereo.
Hello, I'm Adam.
Hey, I'm Joe. Welcome to this week's special podcast of the Adam and Joe radio show on BBC Six Music. I say it's special because we've been away for 3 weeks, and if you're a regular listener, you've had to tolerate some kind of ill-thought-out placeholder bits of audio.
So what? This is well thought out, is it?
This is carefully thought out. Carefully. Everything's very scripted. And I was just going into that voice because, you know, when you ticking someone off?
Yeah.
This is very well thought out. That tonality. Do you know what I mean?
Passive-aggressive voice.
Yeah, passive-aggressive voice. Anyway, this is brilliant. It's a return to form. Even this intro is stronger than anything we've done in the last few weeks.
We got a bit of name dropping for you in this podcast. We've got some brilliant new Song Wars songs that have had a lot of care and attention lavished on them.
We've got a Text the Nation that started well but gradually petered out.
There's a little bit of petering there that occurred. But the podcast will be so brilliantly edited by our producer, Jude, that you won't even notice the petering.
Yeah, we were a bit unsettled towards the end of the programme, and even though we didn't mention it on air, a journalist from Mojo magazine came and sat in. And Adam and I, I'm certainly quite self-conscious. As soon as he came in, I decided I had to be kind of, really cool.
Cool.
Say good things,
That. He sort of did a little different hairstyle.
I changed my clothes. Started behaving differently. I was smoking in the studio.
You drew a little logo on your cheek.
I drew a logo on my cheek.
And the coolie.
No, it was fair trade. It was to do with fair trade. It's important that, that's got across to the media. What?
I don't know.
Anyway, so, you might be able to detect that towards the end of the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. We'll be back at the end to say bye-bye. Hello!
This is a Big British Castle podcast with some talking from the Adam and Joe Show radiogram. You can listen to it while you're on your way to work. And when you get there, you can listen on the loo. How do you do?
It's interesting to observe that standards of personal grooming in terms of the nude body have risen dramatically in the last 30 years. If you look at naked people from the turn of the century, or maybe the 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, they're very different.
That's true.
They don't really trim.
They don't trim?
No.
Right, right.
You know, it's
hair-wise.
Like shoving a forest into a small plastic bag.
Yeah, that's true. It's fashionable to be plucked and shaved.
Have
now.
You ever stumbled across an erotic magazine from your parents' generation?
I've
maybe
seen one once
dad's sock drawer.
In a museum.
Really?
Yeah. Well, The Joy of Sex, of course, was the wonderful tome that captured that era. And everyone was, yes.
Just, I'm saying, standards of nudity have risen.
You reckon risen?
Yeah.
I think it's a decline. I think
people take more care.
Well, I think they're over-fussy. I think it's nice to wander around with all the forestation growing happily, pumping out CO2.
Thank God you said CO2.
Yeah.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, back from our amazing three-week holiday, refreshed and restocked with two ideas each.
What are the ideas?
The idea for Text the Nation and the idea for Song Wars.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
The idea for Song Wars, when we set it up a few weeks ago, I don't know if anyone can remember that far back, was to write a song for the Quantum of Solace, the new Bond film. When we left you 3 weeks ago, they hadn't quite settled on who was going to sing it. People were talking about Duffy. People were talking about Amy Winehouse. But now a decision's been made. There was a press release a few days ago. The world's buzzing with the news that it's Alicia Keys.
And Jack White.
And Jack White.
So that's good. I mean, no one's heard the song yet, have they?
No, and the song, interestingly, isn't called The Quantum of Solace.
No.
It's called something like Kiss, Kill Me on the Lips.
Right. Ooh.
I just made that up. That would be a good name for a Bond song.
It would be very good. Now, you know what? I was thinking of it last night because my song ends with the refrain, Quantum of Solace. I mention it quite a lot, right? Mm. And I thought, I bet you Jack White doesn't even mention it. I bet he's too cool for the whole thing.
He doesn't even mention the name of the song.
Doesn't even mention
the name of the film. Well, it's a tricky thing to rhyme.
Yeah.
Adam and I were at a wedding last night, listeners, and we were sitting next to... I was sitting quite near to Richard Curtis. The man what writes and makes the films.
Yes.
And we were his partner is Emma Freud, the lovely Emma Freud. And she's once read a book by Stephen King.
No name drop sound needed there, dude.
Why not?
That's just a reference to a person.
I was trying to fool her. Last night I saw a film starring James Bond.
Anyway, what were they saying?
They were trying to rhyme something with Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
All we could think of was Dollis, the old shoe shop. Yeah. And that's no good because kids don't know what Dollis is. They went bust, didn't they? Did they? I don't think they exist anymore. Maybe they do. If they do, I'm sorry, Dollis.
Well, we discussed this before we left, didn't we? The other thing you could rhyme it with was Wallace, as in Wallace and Gromit.
That's right.
And I was really trying hard to work in a Wallace rhyme.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, there we go. So get another name drop queued up. I was sitting next to Rob Brydon. Mm-hmm. He came up with that. He, for some reason, has written a Quantum of Solace song as well.
Has he?
I only came in on the fag end of the conversation, but that's what they were talking about.
What's he doing writing Quantum of Solace songs?
I don't know.
He's on our patch.
All comedians are all over it. It's
get
the
off
most
our patch.
Unimaginative idea
is it?
In the world.
Oh, wicked.
Wicked.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's Text the Nation time, listeners. This is a complicated quiz. I'm going to explain it, so listen very carefully. We give you a kind of a question, you text in answers, and we read the answers out over the airwaves.
Not even answers, though, are they? They're comments, really.
Well, they're sort of answers. They're responses.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's another word for an answer, I suppose.
Responses.
So this week, we are talking about T-shirts.
Yeah, novelty T-shirts. You know, listeners, if you buy a magazine like maybe Viz or the 40 and Times or Q magazine, towards the back, you might get a page-sized advert from a T-shirt company who are selling the latest T-shirts that it's cool to wear round the place. And it would have some kind of picture on it that's designed to make people think you're cool.
One of the ones I saw in Q magazine the other day, they had a whole page of particularly lame ones.
Right.
Was I'm Barry Scott. And it's got a picture of...
From the Sillit Bang advert.
Yeah, yeah.
And student that's, favourite.
Exactly. So it sums up a lot of what the whole T-shirt market is about.
A lot of them are very rude, so we got to be careful here. There you go. I'm the Stick. That's a popular T-shirt. That's a Top Gear thing, though, isn't it? I saw a child in an I'm the Stick T-shirt. A child couldn't be the Stig. The Stig is their stunt driver, right? Who's like an anonymous, mysterious figure. Always masked, yeah. Well, that's popular. I don't think that's too stupid, though. It's popular, but not too stupid.
That's like wearing I Am Spartacus or something.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. But here is one, for instance, from... We're looking at the NME here. There's a page of stupid T-shirts. One says, I prefer Britney bald.
There you go.
So sometimes if you cash in on, you know, a pop cultural phenomenon, that can be a good thing to make money from. What else? There's another one with a picture of a scuba diver, and it says, the deeper you go, the better it feels. It's not about scuba diving, is it?
I saw one that said, I love lamp. What's that?
What does that mean?
And it's got like a little silhouette of a lamp.
Right.
So that's sort of student-y randomness, right?
There's your classics, your I'm with stupids, yeah. Your my parents went to XYZ and all they got me was this T-shirt.
Yeah.
Whoever invented that, did they copyright that, do you think?
You can't copyright something like that, surely.
I think you can copyright a T-shirt design, can't you?
No.
A statement you can copyright.
I like the Pope. The Pope smokes dope. Someone's got rich off that.
Yes.
No.
Well, that's what this whole Text the Nation pivots around. We're trying to come up with slogans and design ideas that can make us a billion.
A pretty penny.
I think I've got one.
Have you?
It came to me during our break. Just the one idea.
Right.
I was thinking very hard. And first I was thinking along the lines of something to do with Area 61. Is it Area
61?
51.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Area 61
well, wait, plants. I was getting confused. I was jumping ahead of myself. Area 51, aliens are very confused. What? Aliens are very popular with T-shirt designs, you know, smoking a jazz cigarette or something. Mm-hmm. So my idea was Area 69.
Nice.
You can fill in the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a combination of filth and aliens.
It
you
is.
Can imagine what the aliens are doing.
It's sort of a combination of filth and aliens, but not much else.
No, but you know, you don't want to stretch people's brains.
No.
That would sell. But then I thought that's not good enough. So then I thought, what about a video game one? What about if you had a picture of Mario from the Mario games?
Like it.
And he's just urinating, and under he's urinating in a puddle and looking happy about it. And underneath it just says Nintendo Wii.
That's quite
it's
good.
Not sophisticated, but there's a blunt baseness about it.
I was trying to think
particular
of a
particular force
a Wii something. Yeah,
but then I threw those away and I came up with what I think is the winner. Those are both copyrighted.
Hard to beat
by
Nintendo
the way.
Wii.
It would be the look on Mario's face that's key.
Would he be urinating on one of the other characters? Maybe,
very possibly on Yoshi or maybe Toad.
Maybe. I like it.
I think maybe Toad.
That's fun.
Anyway, but I rejected those. You can have those. The winner, I thought, cash in on the Apprentice Fever.
Nice.
Alan Sugar's fame. It's a picture of Alan Sugar, and he's going, he's in the you're fired position.
Right.
Pointing his finger. We'll have to get BBC approval for this. But he's pointing two fingers, and in his two fingers are a jazz cigarette.
Right.
And instead of saying you're fired, he's saying you're fried.
Nice.
You know?
You're going to get rich off that.
I'm going to get... That's copyright Joe Cornish.
You could, at the very least, you could go into business with Sugar. I mean, if he's got the business brain that we think he has, then
which
he would know that that is a winner.
He invented Amstrad computers. They're still the most popular computer in the workplace.
Absolutely.
They've got green writing.
And they go beep, 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 whenever you try and type anything.
The Amstrad PC95W12. Isn't that what it was?
You used to be a big fan of Amstrad.
I had one, yeah.
Man, that's a brilliant idea.
Well, there's three brilliant ideas, Adam Buxton.
I've only got one. I would say that's two good ideas, one brilliant idea.
Area 69.
My idea is also alien-based.
Good.
And you've got a picture of the classic little green man on the front there. He's wearing swimming trunks. And he's saying, take me to your Lido. I mean, the only problem with that one is that some people pronounce it Lido. But for my purposes, he's saying, take me to your Lido. Yeah, that's good. Are you laughing with approval or disgust, Jude? What are you? You're fried.
No, it's good,
just as good
half,
as you're fried.
No, I don't know. The first...
Take me to your
I
Lido.
I like it, man, because the first half of the word is the same.
Yeah.
Lido.
Yeah.
Lido. Most Lido. People say Lido. That's the correct pronunciation.
He's not bothered about meeting George Bush. He just wants us to go for a swim.
That's good.
Watch out. Here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. We're very happy to be back after a break of 3 weeks. That's going to be our last break for a while, I think. You know, we're chained to the castle now.
Not allowed to leave.
Quite some time.
We've used up all our holiday allowance.
All our holiday passes.
Here till Christmas.
And beyond.
And beyond. But now, it's time for a regular feature. It's Song Wars.
Who will win the Song Wars today? Perhaps it will be Adam, or it could be Joe. Either one. You will be the one who decides. By texting or emailing when you hear the clips.
Although they can't text, right? For this one?
Wait. I like this jingle. Doesn't you say something towards the end?
I just vary the... here. Oh, no, it's much later even.
It's much later. Don't you say booby-doo at some
I say
point?
Fatata.
A fatata. Surely that's worth waiting for. There we are.
There we go.
Okay, Song Wars, if you've just tuned in or you're a new listener, is the part of the show where Adam and I compose songs entirely on our own, using our computers, and they're on a theme, and then we battle them. And the way we battle them is by playing them both, which we'll be doing in a second, and then we get you to vote for the one that you like best.
And for this, we're asking you just to email your votes, right?
Right. Big British Castle has new, very stringent rules about any kind of competitive or interactive activity.
Quite rightly so.
Rightly so, yes. This is a national service.
Exactly. I mean, many people have died in the past with competitions going wrong, texts going awry.
Yeah, lives have been lost.
Lives
have been ruined.
You know, families,
a little girl,
have been torn apart.
Who wanted to enter a competition, and she did. But what she didn't realise is that she had no chance of winning.
Exactly.
And as a result, she died.
And there was another man in the north of England who texted his vote to a competition.
Oh, God.
And the text failed to get through.
Oh,
and he died.
Just instantly.
He died.
He exploded.
So we don't want that to happen.
He popped.
I mean, enough people are dead, I think.
Enough lives have been lost. You know, stop this madness.
Stop the slaughter.
Fine,
and just
everyone.
Email your votes for Song Wars, even if you're listening again on the wonderful Listen
Well,
Again
especially
service.
If you're listening again.
Exactly.
The email address is Adam and Joe, all one word. The word A-N-D is the and, not an ampersand, dot the number 6 music at bbc.co.uk.
You say email addresses like my dad says phone numbers.
I try and explain them as long-windedly as possible.
700 95 5 3 3 3 1 2 5.
That's just a very long number. You cheated.
Okay, so it's Bond songs, or more specifically, Quantum of Solace songs.
Yeah.
When does Quantum of Solace come out?
I think in October or something, November maybe, towards the end of the year. It's very exciting.
How much do you know about the film?
Quite a bit.
Oh, really?
And well, actually, not that much. I know that it continues the story from the previous one, which I'm not happy with.
Uh-huh.
I like Bond to be freestanding adventures,
right,
with a different silly nutball every time.
As if anyone can remember what the story
I
was
know.
In the last one.
Something
anyway.
Something about Vespa, a Vespa.
Something about man,
moped.
Men chasing each other,
slapping each other's
shooting,
muscly faces,
and a bit of torture.
But this one continues on. It picks up 10 minutes after the last one. The last film that did that was Halloween 2, wasn't it? And look at that. For a disaster. The only good bit was the bit with the razor in the apple. And that was obviously awful.
Yeah. Have we got a coin for who's going to play our song first?
Whose song is going to be played first?
Yeah, that's
get
true.
The coins.
Get the
Here
coin.
We go. I've got one.
Okay.
Heads or tails?
I'm calling heads to play mine first.
Okay, if it's heads, yours is played first.
Yeah,
this is exciting. That's... It is heads.
Ooh.
Okay, give us a little introductory spiel about your song, Adam Buxton.
Well, I was talking to Richard Curtis last night.
Hey, how come he doesn't get a demeaning noise?
Yeah, from the Vicar of Dibley.
Ooh.
Right. And I was saying to Richard that I, in my opinion, the classic Bond themes have had many different segments in
oh,
there.
Oh, God.
Like Live and Let Die. You
right,
know, being
that is
classic
a good one.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Didn't that win an Oscar?
It should have done if it didn't. But, you know, that's got the reggae section in there and there's a kind of jazz breakdown in there. It's a brilliant, it's maybe the best Bond theme in my opinion. And I'm always very fond of having little sections in my Song Wars songs anyway, so I thought this is ideal. But actually, the way it turned out, I really did my best to construct the song from scratch. No loops in here, except for a couple of drum loops. But it's all played from scratch. And as a result, it's a kind of cacophonous nightmare. And also, I'm really singing on this one as well.
Wow, I'm excited. What is it called? The Quantum of Solace?
Yeah, it's called The Quantum
That's
of Solace.
A good title. How did you think of that?
I don't remember. I think Will Smith suggested it.
Right.
So let's hear what you think of it.
I'm working for the Brits. I've got cars and guns and gadgets. I've got ladies with big brains. I've got licenses to kill. I've got licenses to fish. I've got sexy suits and air miles. But here's my biggest wish. I'd like a quantum of solace, but no more than a quantum. I know they do big bags of solace, but I don't want them. I only want a teeny tiny slice of solace before I shoot you. Foreign location chase, foreign location chase, shooting dirty baddies in the busy foreign street. Foreign location chase, running all around and now I've really hurt my feet. Ow.
So, Mr. Bond.
Yes, hello.
You want to stop me?
I do want to stop you, yes, but only if it's exciting.
I met a lovely lady, but found out she was a rotter. So we exchanged some saucy quips, I snogged her, then I shot her.
But I felt quite bad because I'm such a modern complex guy. Sometimes this job gets to you, and maybe that is why. I'd like a quantum of solace, but no more than a quantum. I know they do big bags of solace, but I don't want them. I only want a teeny tiny slice of solace
before I shoot you.
Quantum of solace, I'm saying the name of the film over the music. Quantum of solace, I did it again just there.
I think we will meet again, Mr. Bond.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like a very scary villain.
No, he's not.
Bond doesn't sound like his heart's in it either.
He's quite tired. He's been at the gym all day.
He's only 10 minutes after the last one.
Exactly. He's absolutely exhausted.
So you're going there with quantum as a measure of quantity, right?
Is that not what it is?
In physics, a quantum, plural, quanta. Yeah. I'm not reading this. Is an indivisible entity of a quantity that has the same units as the Planck constant and is related both to energy and momentum of elementary particles of matter called fermions and of photons and other bosons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The word comes from the Latin quantus for how much. So it's actually an indivisible entity of quantity. So it's a very small amount.
It's a very small.
I don't know that you could go into a newsagent and ask for a quantum of pear drops.
You could, surely.
Could you?
Absolutely.
What would the reply be? Do they even sell... Do they decant sweets like that anymore? Maybe in country towns?
Yeah, they would have little tiny jars.
Yeah, tiny. Just quantum, one pear drop.
You just shavings of pear drops. Yeah, a quantum of pear drops. What else is it about? What's the title? I mean, it's... You read synopses of the film on the internet and there's no mention of solace or quantum.
Oh, he's just very lonely.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at, you see.
That was good, though. He has a license to fish.
Yeah, I was going to make loads of license jokes. Let's hear yours.
And air miles. I like the air miles reference because that's an aspect of Bond you don't hear about a lot.
No.
He must really top them up.
Well, he must have loads. He gets into all the lounges.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Misbehaves there. Kills people and makes a mess. So that's Quantum of Solace, song number one. How are people... Yeah, that's Adam's song. You're just going to have to vote either Adam or Joe, I guess, because they're both called the Quantum of Solace. And is that being offered to the makers of the film for use if the Jack White and Alicia Keys thing falls through?
Well, actually, they called me last night.
Did they?
Yeah. And they said that they would like to use it.
That's funny. What time did they call you?
They called me at 9:15.
They called me at 9:20.
What?
And said that they'd spoken to you, but they'd subsequently heard the song and thought it was Plops. That was the word.
Did they use the word Plops?
Yeah, it was Cubby Broccoli.
That's a bit harsh.
They thought a Buxton song, Plops. It's Plops.
It
and then they say, yeah, let me hear. Is that how Cubby Broccoli speaks?
He may have done when he was alive. But I think he's the late Cubby Broccoli. You would be talking to his widow now.
Really?
She's the one that deals with the franchise.
I was talking to him via a Ouija board. Yeah, this was a sale, not on
the phone.
Play
your song.
Okay, here's the song. This is my Quantum of Solace song, and it's pretty self-explanatory, really. I will say that I bought a new jam pack for my garage band.
Which one did you buy?
Strings.
Strings.
Yeah, I thought you needed some strings. So this is Quantum of Solace song number two.
He's got a gun, great big man tits. He's got jug ears and tiny trunks. Dame Judi Dench is furious with him. He's gone completely out to lunch. The quantum of
the
solace.
Quantum of solace.
I don't know what that means.
What does it mean?
He's having flashbacks in black. The stunt team from the Bond films and lots of product sponsorship.
The Sultan of
the
Qualis.
The Sultan of Qualis. Did I get it confused?
I got it mixed up.
It was nearly dead, no, really, nearly. It's much more gritty than before. No silly gadgets, just lots more fighting. That French bloke that does parkour.
the something of Boris. I forgot what it's called.
Is that what it was?
Sometimes I wish Roger Moore would come back with an underwater car or some kind of jetpack or a hover gondola and a Union Jack.
Forget it, mate. It's not the 80s. He'd rather kick you in the face. We've got a newborn for the noughties because the world's a terrible place.
The quantum of solace.
The quantum of solace.
I've written it
I'll
down.
Remember it now.
Wow.
There we go. Song number two. Mine was a bit less silly than yours.
What?
I don't know.
I went for a classic You Only Live Twice style era Bond.
I was more like Bowie via Madonna. That's what I was thinking. Did that come across at all?
No. But that's good. That's good. That's going to win, I think.
You never can tell.
You never can tell.
Nice.
Yeah, T-shirt stuff. And we've already got some ideas in. It's hard to tell sometimes whether these are things people have made up or whether they're actual slogans.
Oh, I should say, incidentally, as well, that people have reminded us that I Love Lamp is a quote from Anchorman.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So here are some ideas that have come in. Somebody says, I mean, one or two people, just to get this going, they're telling us about slogans that they've already got and liked. You know, ones that maybe are genuinely quite good. For instance, Hugh in Cardiff is saying he bought a T-shirt that said, "Home, honey, I'm high."
That's not bad.
That's not bad, is it?
Yeah. Home, honey, I'm high.
He swapped around the high and the home.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I suppose.
It's a bit depressing, though.
A little bit.
We don't want to come home high.
What's the home, honey bit, though? That doesn't really make that much sense. In order to completely work, it should be 100% legitimate.
Is this what you'd be saying to him if you'd met him at a party wearing that T-shirt?
Yeah.
You'd be standing there with a drink in your hand. Oh, your T-shirt's quite funny, but what's the home
thing? I see what you're trying to do with the T-shirt. I think it's about 70% there. I think it's amusing and made me chuckle.
You're clearly a funny chap, but you just don't think things through.
I mean, home honey. What is a home honey? It doesn't make that much sense, does it? Mm. Nice to meet you, though.
Here's an idea from Dave in Salford. He says, "My T-shirt idea is, quotes, 'I was with stupid, but he's wandered off now and I'm growing increasingly concerned for his safety.'"
That's brilliant.
Is that real?
I've never seen that.
Other listeners, you're going to have to tell us whether you've ever seen these before.
People
could be trying to diddle us.
You've got to say whether you have claimed to invent them yourself or whether you've just seen them somewhere else. But that's a good one.
That's a very good one. We might put that into production. I'm going to asterisk that one.
Do a little picture of asterisk next to it.
I'm going to draw a little picture of asterisk next to it. Here's another one from Chris in Cambridge. He says, "Hello, got a good one. 668. The neighbour of the beast."
That's very good.
I think I might have seen this.
I think I've seen that, but that's the hallmark of a brilliant idea, though, if you feel you've
seen
it
before. That's either well remembered or if it's made up. That's very clever, Chris.
The neighbour of the beast. I'm sure I've seen that.
We've got some, quite a lot of people are going for kind of, you know, just blatant truth-telling.
Mm-hmm.
John in Croydon. Have we already had a John in Croydon? No, John in Croydon says, he'd do one similar to those ones that say, "Drinking, the more I drink, the better looking you get."
Right.
But his would say, "Drinking causes your liver to shut down, eventually resulting in complete renal failure." I think that's good.
That's very good.
That was a great chat. Here comes another. Adam and Joe are rocking the podcast now.
Oh, Martin.
Excuse me.
Folks, you may remember that we had a competition recently called Video Wars, where we invited you to submit videos for a couple of our Song Wars tracks. Jane's Brain, which I recorded, and Meatballs, which Joe recorded. Only short ones. And we were overwhelmed with responses. We genuinely thought that we would get maybe 14 or 15 people who actually bothered to make videos for these tracks. In the end, we got 143 videos that people had made. All of them had a really impressive amount of effort. Maybe one or two, literally, were clearly like tossed off in about 2 or 3 minutes. The rest of them were pretty amazing, and some of them were extraordinary and clearly had had like days of hard work put into them. So we had a judging session that the competition is now closed. You can't submit anymore. But Joe and myself...
It was a proper judging session, yeah. Wasn't it? We had our producer, Jude. We had Adam and I. We had Garth Jennings, the pop video and movie director. And we had a special lady from the BBC kind of, you know, head
T's
office.
T's and C's, was she saying? Terms and conditions.
Yeah. She was making us, forcing us to obey the precise letters of the rules.
Absolutely.
Give everybody a fair crack of the whip. You know, not be extra generous to anybody because they were particularly sophisticated. You know, technically, not to punish anybody for being technically sophisticated. Making sure that the judging criteria were correct.
To me, she embodied the BBC.
To me, she did as well.
You know, because she was a curious person. I haven't run across anyone like that in the BBC for a while. But she seemed like old school Big British
Castle. She should have been a Blue Peter presenter.
Yeah, she was very well spoken.
She was a sort of a Valerie Singleton character.
Exactly.
Sexy, but, you know, contained.
Mm, absolutely. And extremely well spoken, like proper newsreader style voice she had with her clipboard. It was quite attractive. But also, like when
the whole
we were,
atmosphere in the judging room was very sexually charged.
But when we were looking through some of the entries, like there was
I had trouble concentrating.
She kept on sort of when we were looking through the internet and stuff. She kept on saying, "Oh, I love that! I love that Ween track. Oh, that's one of my favourite Ween tracks and stuff." Like that. It was really bizarre the juxtaposition of all her pop cultural nous with this kind of 50s.
Anyway,
stern.
So she's won.
Ooh, she's
we're
won.
Giving her the prize.
That's what we wanted to tell you, listeners.
We've cancelled the competition and she's coming to look around the studio. Yeah. And we're going to take her into the street.
Because we fell in love with her.
Yes.
That's not true. We have got a shortlist and it was not easy to arrive at the shortlist.
Very tough. And if you're listening and you entered the competition, we'd like to thank you from the heart, from the bottom of our hearts, because there were some brilliant entries and it takes a lot to actually get up and film something, then edit it, then sync it to the song. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of hard work.
To say nothing of actually uploading it to YouTube.
Absolutely.
Which can sometimes take hours. Thank you very much to everyone who responded.
And we'll be announcing the winner when? In 2 weeks' time, yes. Yeah, so not next weekend at Summer Sunday, but the following weekend when we're back here in the studio on the 16th of August. We'll be announcing the winner of the extraordinary prize.
And let me tell you as well that I personally lobbied hard for there to be more than one winner, but apparently that was not in keeping with...
I lobbied hard for there to be no winner.
Yeah, Joe wanted to get the whole thing banned. But, you know, it felt unfair to me that we just had to narrow it down to one
But now
person.
We know how whenever anybody announces a winner, they always go how incredibly hard it was.
And you always
and
think...
how all the entries... And right. You think, no, it wasn't.
Well, sometimes they say, well, the standard was incredibly high. It was being very... You know, and they're just lying. But this time we are not lying. It's the one time.
If you go onto YouTube, listeners, and do a search for Video Wars or Meatballs or Jane's Brain,
Yeah. You'll
come up with like 60 of these things and you'll be able to have a look at the amazing range and quality of ideas that were submitted. But we were very excited and honoured that everyone made such an effort.
Mind the gap.
Yes, it mind the gap.
Here's some more ideas that have come in from listeners. And people are being careful to stress that these ideas are their own.
Mm-hmm.
And we like that, a bit of clarity and honesty when it comes to the origin of your idea. Jesse in Shrewsbury says these are his or her own work.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know the gender of Jesse.
Maybe she's gender indeterminate.
Maybe. A hermaphrodite.
Yes.
Or just confused.
What's the opposite of a hermaphrodite?
A hermaphrodite.
No, hermaphrodites both, right?
Yeah.
And what's something that is asexual?
A mannequin. No?
Anyway,
I don't know.
Carry on.
Hello, three designs for your consideration. Design number one, Roger Daltrey in the TARDIS underneath Doctor Who.
That, well, you know, that's pretty basic that's stuff good. There. It's not bad. Not.
It'll
I mean,
sell.
When I say not bad...
You mean bad.
I mean a little bit bad.
Second idea is my other T-shirt is a Prada. I don't know about that one.
Well, that, again, it does the job. I mean, there are many worse T-shirts than that on the market, let me tell you.
And then the third idea is Die Hard, Overdose on Viagra.
That's very good.
There's something there. Do you think Jesse made that up?
Yeah, I would say on the strength of the
We're
other
putting
two.
That to market, Jesse.
That's good, though. Die Hard.
How would you do that? Would there be a picture of Bruce Willis? With
difficult.
A bottle of Viagra?
Yeah.
Or what about a picture of Nakatomi Towers, but it's floppy?
Not bad.
Not bad.
I wouldn't wear any of these myself, though.
Wouldn't you?
No. I might wear your fried.
Really?
And what was the other one we had before? The neighbour of the beast, I might wear.
That was
wear.
Good. This is an anonymous texter says, most T-shirt designs are way too subtle. You should create a range of T-shirts with straight talking slogans like, I drink beer, I like girls, I take drugs, I have sex on them. That's quite good, isn't it?
I like the other one that's more specific about the what's going to happen to you if you are indulging on all these things.
Mr. Huggles, he's got an idea for interactive T-shirts. A print of a dartboard on the front or back and some sticky balls to throw at the target.
It's a good idea.
With a small pocket on the T-shirt to keep the balls safe when not in use. So this isn't slogan-based.
He's thinking in a wider context.
In a wider context,
he's thinking even outside the box. Can we use that phrase?
Get annoying for after a bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah. What, thinking outside the box?
No, people just throwing sticky balls at you the whole time. This is from Maddie. Maddie from Colchester. She says, hello, my idea is Shaggy skidding on a dog poo and the caption, Scooby-Doo-Doo.
Well, you say it in that dismissive way you read it out.
Well, it's to make you seem small.
Here's how I would say it. Shaggy, he slides on a dog poo and the caption is, Scooby-Doo-Doo. And then people would want to buy the shirt, not the way you said it, all like dismissive.
Well, you're on a rival stall. I'm trying to do down your produce.
Hi, this is a sexy woman, and you're listening to the highlights of the Adam and Joe BBC Six Music show. Ooh, this podcast has got me so hot. I'm too hot. I'm going to have to sit down and take off my cardigan. Ooh, I'm boiling.
White Stripes, Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground. I can play that on my guitar. That's the first song I learned how to play on my guitar.
It sounds quite easy to play.
It's quite easy to play.
Yeah.
It's not so easy to sing. And
really?
Do a good job of.
I find it really easy to sing.
But it's only about four chords in there.
It's easy.
So you're laughing, mainly. And I might sing that. I was thinking, because John Pearson, who sorts out some of the festival coverage here at the BBC, was saying, would we like to do anything at the Hub tent at the festival, the Summer Sunday festival that we're going to be at next weekend? Joe, you weren't so keen on strutting your stuff.
I won't have any time to rehearse.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, so he said, well, Adam, do you want to play a song? You can play guitar. And I was like, well, I can technically play guitar.
I think he was suggesting you play a self-penned song, not cover a rock track.
He wasn't that specific.
I immediately thought,
might be time to play Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground.
Oh, I went to Summer Sunday last weekend. I saw Adam Buxton cover the White Stripes. It was incredible.
It was incredible. It's much better than the original. It's a lot better than the original.
He's so rock and roll.
I thought about doing that one, or I thought about doing She's Got Medals by David Bowie. Very early Bowie track.
I'll pop to the lav.
Or I might do one of my own. I don't know. I've written so many.
It's exciting.
It's very
Who knows
exciting.
What'll happen?
So, folks, we're in the middle of Text the Nation. All-time great T-shirt slogans. What would your top... choice B?
I don't know. I think the Ghostbusters logo, you just can't mess with that.
Not a humorous one. Addy Hash.
I've never had one of those.
It's like Addy
a lot of people are texting in and pointing out ones that are really appalling and should be stopped. Mm. Like there's an iPod one with a kind of iPod style logo of someone sitting on the toilet. This came in via email.
Like a silhouette.
Joe Stenson. Yeah, a few weeks back in the town where I live, beautiful Leeds, I spotted a young gentleman strolling along wearing a T-shirt akin to that of the iPod advert with the silhouette characters upon it. However, this chap's shirt displayed an outline person sat on a toilet with headphones on. Underneath it read, I pooed.
Like it.
Do you?
Personally, I like it.
Would you chat to that person?
I'd wear that.
You go, hey, couldn't help noticing your T-shirt.
You
don't know me. I'm Adam Buxton. I don't know you, but I'd really like to get to know you.
Do you want
to
hear me play Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground by the White Stripes? I know it. I can play it.
He's coming to the Summer Sunday, that guy.
I like
him. Coming all the way from Leeds.
He's a genius.
That's not such a good one.
I don't mind that one.
But it's a good trope, isn't it, to take a famous logo and turn it into something to do with either drugs or the toilet.
Mm.
As you said, Addy Hash.
Addy Hash.
It's a good one. Coca-Cola with just cocaine instead.
That is a big T-shirt,
kids
that
love
one.
That.
They love that.
What else could we do that with?
The T-shirt we're talking about, not the actual drug.
What could we do that with?
Oh, there's got to be loads.
You want to get thinking. Say a supermarket name.
Well, listen, what about the... We were talking about Kellogg's Crunch earlier on, weren't
yes.
we?
Yes.
You turn that into, isn't there a drug called Crunk or Crank or something?
There's a dance called Crunk. There's a drug called Crank in Jason Stratham's bloodstream.
Or
what's he called? Statham.
Statham.
Statham. There you
go. Or Crack, you could turn it. I mean, that's an obvious one. There's got to be loads of crack-based.
So Kellogg's t-shirt. Crack?
Something. I mean, you wouldn't call it Kellogg's, otherwise it would be a legal problem.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Snap, Crack and Pop, and it would have the three elves, and they've all got little pipes and syringes, and they're looking the worse for wear.
And they've just got a big bowl full of little rocks of crack. I like
one of them
one.
Smoking it. That's a good idea.
It's good fun. Good clean fun.
Would no, they?
Obviously.
And of course, that reflects in no way on that brand, and there are many other
and it's not
types
good,
of crack
it's
available.
Not good clean fun. Our producer Jude is holding her hands up in the air with a look of despair on her face. What one can only describe as despair and disappointment.
Oh yeah, so funny, I forgot to laugh.
You know, I went to Los Angeles again the first week we were away.
You love it. You're practically from Los Angeles.
I'm trying to move there,
yeah.
If I can. That's not true at all.
What's it like there?
It's amazing. Mm. You could never afford to go, someone like you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's extraordinary. Bill Clinton is the president.
Mm-hmm.
And
he plays the jazz saxophone.
He's a saxophonist,
and he's always stoned.
And there's a new film that's just come out there called Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. It's like, remember the Camp 60s series?
Yeah.
They've made it dark for the noughties.
That's a good
idea.
It's
all about terrorism now and 9/11.
Brilliant.
And it's important.
Mm.
Yeah. No, but while I was out there, I went to see a film that has kind of a cult reputation and people always talk about very fondly, Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of a bit of a touchstone for our generation, isn't it? For just sort of instant, oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So I actually went to see it at a cinema projected. It was on at the New Beverly, which is this really good little repertory cinema.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I think it was a Tuesday night. And we all went down there to see it. And of course, who does it star?
It stars David Bowie.
David is the Goblin King.
A wizard.
And word has it, people were gossiping. There was lots of chit-chat from film nerds. Apparently, he's ashamed of it.
No.
And he doesn't like it.
Dance, baby, dance.
And it's extraordinary. Turn. He plays a Goblin King in a land of puppets. If you haven't seen it, you should really get the DVD. It's a Ooh. Really odd, peculiar thing. It's who's it directed by? Is it Frank Oz? Or it's one of those Henson people directing it? And I think it's written by Terry Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Terry Jones is
yeah.
one of the writers.
And it's one of the last big pre-digital creature films.
Right.
So it's got loads of amazing puppetry techniques.
Was it around the same time as The Neverending Story or somewhere like that?
The same time, maybe before, yeah.
And that
was
directed
before.
By Wolfgang Petersen, I
yeah,
think.
The director of Das Boot.
That's a strange one. That could have done with a bit
but
of Bowie.
But let's not get off. Stay
action.
On topic. Stay on topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
And it reminded me how wonderful it was if you were a kid in that decade. You could see a film like that, and then you could go home and try all the techniques,
mm-hmm.
right? I used to go up to my bedroom and use all my toys and puppets and things.
Oh, try those techniques.
And, yeah, and like reconstruct all the puppetry techniques.
I thought you meant like
Am
the codpiece
there?
Techniques.
Well, oh, that's
home.
A different
I'm
subject.
Going to wear some tights and stuff some socks down my tights.
Oh, that's
and
another thing.
Dance around like a massive codpiece pixie king.
Seeing it on the big screen, his bits and bobs are completely available for all to view.
Bowie's bits and bobs have been available in other films.
Really?
You've seen Man Who Fell to Earth, right?
Yeah, but that's an adult film.
All the bobs
this
and the bits.
This is a children's film. I'm not winding this up. It's too exciting. And it's got the chick from, what's her name, from The Hulk and...
yes, that's right.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Aged about 14.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to seduce her.
Ooh.
The Goblin King does not know contemporary sexual mores or parameters. Anyway, you should see it again. And we're going to play you out now with Bowie's amazing theme song from Labyrinth. It's underground. It's a kind of a gospel, an epic journey into pop gospel.
You can probably fire it off, Jude. I imagine the introduction's about 5 minutes long,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, I love that sound.
Yeah.
But go rent out Labyrinth if you're depressed this weekend, because it'll make you happy and confused and... It's like smoking crack, but for kids.
Happy and confused.
Yeah, not that I've ever done
it's
that.
It's deadly as well.
Who's only necking, miss?
So having a little bite of apple there. Adam's apple.
Oh, God help me. That's the end of our highlights podcast this week. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget you can listen to the unexpurgated programme via Listen Again for a full 7 days after the programme's
gone out.
That's
the way to listen to it, really.
You can also watch BBC television programmes on the iPlayer, a brilliant way to avoid paying your licence fee.
That's not true, though, is it?
No, it is true. You don't have to pay the licence fee if you have the iPlayer.
Yeah, you can't prove that you haven't got a telly and just... You know, it's fraught with complications.
I don't think
approach.
It is. I think it's very straightforward.
You reckon?
BBC have made a huge mistake and undercut their own funding structure. But hey, that's not for me to say. on the BBC.
You just did, though.
I've done it.
I liked it when you said funding structure there.
Thanks a lot.
Made it look as if you knew things.
Yes,
it was nice. It was sexy. Listen, folks, next weekend we are going to be at the Summer Sunday Weekender in Leicester, the festival there, and the show will be coming live from there, and of course our podcast will be highlights from that show, so I do hope you can tune into one of those.
If you're there, come and see us. We'll be wandering around on the Friday afternoon with a little tape recorder looking for nonsense to fill our programme with, so come and blurble idiotically and we'll no doubt use it.
Absolutely, that's true. You know, unless you're offensive or physically abusive, we'll get on fine. It'll be good. So take care. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts. If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show? Sundays from 4. Six Music.